Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team,
West Side. Yes, you are now rocking with the West. We don't f*** with the stress. West Side Connect ganging, hoop banging, and we got thousands. So what you claim?
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Tuesday edition of Locked On Rams, and today is the show of the people. I'm taking questions, comments, concerns from Facebook, our Google text number, and yes, the texts do work, so shoot me a message. Again, that number is 657-345-4988. Today we're going to dive deeper into the Rams and the Cowboys matchup. We're going to go to both sides of the ball, Cowboys and Rams. We're going to pick out some things that scare us about both teams, things that maybe a vulnerability of both teams. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to throw in questions from you guys. I got a ton of them. Thank you to everyone that reached out and shout out a question today. We'll try to get to all of them. But don't forget, go hit the subscribe button, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Hit the like, hit the follow, share with a friend. Everyone that's new, thank you so much. 5 days of Rams coverage, Monday through Friday. Your team, every day, only on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you don't know, check it out. The network has got tons of stuff. Our NFL podcast is just cranking up this time of year. Our NFL draft podcast is amazing. Starting to take a peek at some of the players that are coming up. The national championship just finished. Oh my gosh, Bama got blown out, and I couldn't have been happier. It's like watching the Yankees lose. I don't know. There's something that feels good about it. But tons of amazing players in that game. So check out the Locked On NFL Draft to kind of break it down and see who maybe the Rams are going to get late in that first round. Or if we continue to trade and move some things around, you never know. But while we're talking about it, we'll kind of jump into some Rams-related news right now. The Rams are projected to get 2/3 and a 7th rounder in next year's draft as far as compensation for free agents that left. Again, Jermaine Johnson, that's going to be a 3rd-round compensation. Sammy Watkins, also a 3rd-round compensation. And then Cody Davis, hey, got a 7th for him. Didn't see that coming. 3 extra picks for next year, and you know these guys can draft deep. I mean, 3rd-round, you're looking at, we got Noteboom, we got John Johnson III. We can really get good players in that area, and this organization has proved to us that they can take picks like that and turn them into value, whether they're comboing them and going to get an active player, or even comboing them to move up or move down in the draft. Draft picks almost are like a weapon with the Rams organization, so I'm excited to see what we have as far as potential and some of the gaps we have to fill, because we've talked about this in some of the shows of recent that we've got a lot of guys coming off the books at the end of the year, and we got to make some decisions on some tough ones, right? Some of the ones are a little bit easier, and we'll go through that in the weeks following the Super Bowl. We've got some questions at linebacker. We've got some question at edge rush. What are we going to do with Sue? What are we going to do with Barron? What are we doing with Saffold? So lots of questions. Never mad at getting some extra draft capital. So I wanted to share that with you guys that as I saw that today. If you ever see anything online you want to share, don't forget to tag us at Lockdown Rams on Twitter. LA underscore Rambling Bear is my personal. I do my best to follow everyone back. So if I haven't followed you back, let me know, man. I got to give you a follow. I got love. Also, check out our Instagram, Facebook group. That's where I got a lot of these questions. You guys are super interactive, so I appreciate that. And you guys do your own thing. I just check in after being away for a couple days, and things just moving along, people commenting on. I'm like a proud papa to see my group interact with each other. So keep it up. I love it. You guys are talking with each other all over the world. Rams Nation is a nation. And we're going to need that nation on Saturday at the Coliseum. As I mentioned, tickets are only continuing to go up. I saw someone that's a Rams season ticket holder said he got $2,000 for his seats near the front. I don't know who he sold to, but I don't think he really cared at that point either. So we need a few more fans to hang on to some tickets, or people that are in the area, go check it out. The national media is picking the Cowboys as like a little trendy pick, citing that their defense is really hot right now. We're going to talk about that. And actually, let's just talk about them and their defense right now, because that is kind of the talk of the talk right now. Oh, the Cowboys coming in hot. Winners of 8 of the last 9 games. Sounds great. I get it. They're hot. But let me remind you, they lost 5 of their 9 games on the road, including a 23-0 loss at Indianapolis. Their last road win at New York, last game of the season, 36-35. Very close game. It took Prescott almost a near-perfect game with four touchdowns, 387 yards. Going back a little bit further, they squeezed out a victory week 11 versus Atlanta, 22-19. Their last true road victory after that Giants game. So yes, they've been very good, but yes, they've been very good at home. And they're going to come on the road here and face a challenge, hopefully. Our Coliseum fills up. But a couple more things I saw in an ESPN article talking about that defense, right? And this was a breakdown of all playoff teams remaining, talking about what were their vulnerabilities. And they talked about the win against Seattle, shutting down one of the league's best run games in Seattle. But if you look at some of the numbers and you break it down, the Seahawks only ran the ball 24 times for 73 yards. This is a team that averaged over 30 rushes a game. They kind of got away from their game plan. And when they threw the ball, they were also super conservative. Russell Wilson didn't have a great game, but he didn't have a bad game. He was 18 of 27, 233 yards and a touchdown, passer rating of 105. Dropped in a couple sweet passes over the secondary, which I think is really the vulnerability of the Cowboys, right? And as we look to draw comparisons here, Russell Wilson had pretty much a clean game as far as he only got knocked down three times on 27 dropbacks, only sacked once. And really, Russell was able to take strides in the play-action game. It's one of the areas that not only in the secondary, but the Dallas linebackers really are struggling to deal with right now. They've got a couple young guys, you know, Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch. Those are both very young defensive guys. So being able to manipulate them and work them around and get them out of position, especially when they have to cover in the secondary, is a big key. And you can see the stats kind of prove to that in this game. And even looking big picture, during the season, the Cowboys posted a passer rating of 112.6 against play-action passes. That is the sixth worst rating in the league. In the wild card game that we were just talking about and how that running game went nowhere, about 70-something yards, Russell Wilson went 9 of 10 on play action, 109 yards and a passer rating of 117.1. We've talked about all year long with the Rams. That is something that they do very, very well. In fact, the Rams went with play action more than 35% on their dropbacks this season. That is the highest rate in football. Sean McVay's team ranks 6th in yards per attempt, 9.9, and 7th in passer rating, 114.5, when they ran the play action. Although we have lost Cooper Kupp, one of those guys that really was key in that. Numbers have gone down a little bit as of late, but it's something you got to think with Todd Gurley in the backfield, our running game really picking up over the last couple weeks. Yes, with CJ Anderson, but you got to pound the rock. You got to look to hit a number a little bit higher than the Seahawks did. 24 rushing attempts for the Seahawks. I think we got to at least hit that or go close to the 30 mark. That's really going to work in the play action. If we can run the ball well, get a few more yards than the Seattle Seahawks average, and then be able to protect Goff like the Seahawks did with Wilson, give him some time in a clean pocket, and then also mix in the play action, I think we can really move the football. And that's the key to this game, really, is getting back to our offense, putting up close to 30 points, our defense making plays when they need to, shutting them down. Yes, we're going to give up yards, and we're going to give up some points, but really clamp down on that third down. Wade Phillips talked about it not too long ago, that we do really well on third down. The stats are there to prove it. The problem is getting to third down. We're getting up big chunks on first and second down, putting ourselves back behind the chains. But when we get to third down, it seems like they kind of tighten up and want to make a play. So look for that to be a factor on both sides of the ball. Us working on the play action, tricking those linebackers, those young linebackers, moving them around and getting the football up the field vertically, which we saw Russell be able to do a few times, but they just didn't call the plays for him enough to move the ball down the field. All right, what we're going to do, since I basically rambled on that whole segment, we're going to cut over. We're going to get a couple words from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Tuesday edition, we're going to take some questions. More on the other side right after this. Listen close, Rams fans. NFL playoffs are here, and it is time to get on the action with MyBookie. You know the deal. We talk about MyBookie all the time, but don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games. Not this year, when Super Bowl 53 is just around the corners and your Rams are in the playoffs. I mean, let's be honest, it's really the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you are ready for daily action by signing up to MyBookie today. They pay really fast when you win. The ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Remember, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during the playoffs, you gotta go check out MyBookie. I trust them. I mean, you don't have to take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for the playoffs. Use the promo code LOCKEDON50 when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON50. Only at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Tuesday edition, Locked On Rams. Your boy Bear holding it down, going through the podcast today. We're going to pull some questions from you guys, the listeners. So I'm going to go right out the gate here. We're going to go from a Google text. Yes, the Google text, it works. 657-345-4988. Hit your boy up. This one comes all the way from Rocky Springs, Wyoming. Dustin says, hey, Bear. Love you and your beer guzzling buddy show. Started on the other podcast and followed you over here. Love my Rams. Met Eric Dickerson the season he set the single season rushing record. Pretty awesome. Hooked for life, he said. My question is, I believe Todd Gurley is capable of breaking Edie's record, but maybe not, as long as he never gets a full 16 games, which seems quite unlikely watching the McVay protective coaching style. He put protective in the air quotes there. Thoughts? Thanks for your love of our Rams. Always been the lone wolf Ram fan. So many years suffering. Not anymore. Your fellow Rams lover, Dusty Punches, Rocky Springs, Wyoming. Thanks, Dusty. You know, will Todd Gurley ever break ED's record? I'm going to say no. And I'm going to say I don't even think it's really due to the fact that he's not going to play 16 games if McVay's going to protect him near the end of the year if we've got a good record. I think it's just McVay's coaching style. You know, we've seen Jared Goff go over 4,000 yards this year. I think he's sitting at about 4,600 right now, 32 touchdowns. So I think McVay just loves to throw the ball. His offense is kind of about what we just talked about with that play action and fooling linebackers. It's kind of a scheme type of system. I think that's why everyone called him a system quarterback, is because McVay is so scheme driven from one game to another, but he loves to move the football down the field. He loves that fake jet sweep, get people thinking, and then create multiple options off the same play, 11 personnel a lot. So I don't know if it's so much Todd Gurley is going to get the opportunity as far as, you know, playing 16 games. And then if you look at his health this year, the way that he runs, he's a violent runner. He doesn't really want to run out of bounds 2 yards short. He's either going to try to jump over you or run through you. So that violent style, I think it tends to not play towards, you know, getting a full 16 anyway. And then throw in the factor that Sean McVay is a smart coach. He knows how to take care of his players, their health, and then also spread the ball around, because his whole thing is, hey, I've got 4 or 5 weapons, and you're going to have to figure out who I'm going to and how to stop them. So I guess that would be my answer. No for Todd Gurley on breaking the record, but I think he can really get up there and maybe tease the record a couple times. But I just don't think with health-wise and the way that Coach McVay calls a game, I don't think he'll ever really be set up to kind of pass Eric Dickerson's record. So as a Ram, I think that thing stands. But great question. Thank you so much, Dusty. All right, we'll move this thing along here. This is one that I got on Twitter from at jdups5, J-D-U-P-S-5. John asks, hey, Barrett, love the show. Thanks, brother. Question, how are we going to block number 55, Leighton Vander Esch, and are we going to be able to run the ball? If we can't, we're in trouble. Let's go, Rams. I agree. And then something that I kind of was talking about on the other side is being able to work the run into our pass, but not being able to give up on Todd Gurley. We look back to that Atlanta playoff game. Todd Gurley had under 10 touches in that first half. He just wasn't utilized. And then late in the second half, when we were down, we started feeding him the rock. He started picking up big chunks, and our offense started moving. Our offense, whether we love it or not, starts through the run game. CJ Anderson proved that the last 2 weeks as he came in here and produced over 100 yards, ran the ball hard. And I love that. I hope we get to see some CJ. But yes, with now 2 running backs, not only just Todd Gurley, and we're going to see how healthy Todd is, but the understanding in the building is that he's pretty healthy and he's going to come on strong. So yes, we do have to run the ball. And yes, I believe we will. How we're going to stop 55? That's a whole nother question. I think it goes back to McVay and the schemer that he is and trying to move him around and confuse the young rookie. And it's funny, if you guys listen to me for a while here, Leighton Vander Esch was one of those guys we were talking about the Rams potentially trying to get at 23. Obviously, the Cowboys got him earlier. He would have never made it there. Maybe the Rams would have had to move up to go get him. But he was one of those guys that's edge guys, those linebacker guys that we loved coming out of the draft that was kind of on our radar as far as being a Ram. Never happened, and now here we are trying to game plan him. But just looking at his stats, 102 tackles solo, 140 combined, 7 pass deflects, 2 interceptions. The guy can get into coverage. He can move left to right so well. His speed is great. He's a great tackler in space. So yeah, we're going to have to get some bodies on him. But I love it. Saffold is one of those guys that can come off the line and block upfield. And really, he's a big man, but he can run. So we're hoping that we can get him into space, especially when we're trying to get Todd Gurley going. Get him in space. You got to get a hat on a hat with him. You can't let him come rain free or else he's going to make that tackle. The guy doesn't miss many tackles. It's going to be tough, but I think you're going to see kind of, and I don't want to compare him to this, but in a game plan situation, but how you saw teams kind of either go right at Mac to try to take advantage of his pressure or completely move him out of the picture and go opposite of him. I think you'll see kind of the similar to this, is either straight attacking him or trying to confuse him and move him to the right when we're actually going left. So something to definitely keep an eye on throughout the week, and we'll talk about that with Locked On Cowboys tomorrow. I'm excited about that conversation. I know they're pretty hyped about their team, so we'll see how that kind of goes. But John, thanks for the question. Thanks for hitting me up on Twitter. I'll take another question, then we'll jump on over to the other side. This is a good one. This is from Abel Gonzalez. I'm thinking the same thing. What happened to Obo? Let's just consider this a medical redshirt in a sense. I know we took him off of the PUP list. We brought him back onto the roster, and now he's just kind of hanging out, getting practice time. If anything were to really extreme happen where we need another linebacker, maybe he gets that shot. We bring him in instead of going and finding somebody, kind of like we did at running back. We went and found somebody instead of replacing really at that position. But Obo, I think that's somebody that they're just looking at, and maybe the foot didn't really heal as much as they wanted to, or his actual understanding of the defense wasn't coming together as much as they'd like. So kind of a red shirt for him this year. He'll be back next year, hopefully with some more production. And as we talked about, a lot of moving pieces. This might be a guy that they kind of feel a little bit more comfortable with and start to move on from some old pieces, saying, hey, we got Obo, who we don't really know what we have here yet, but we're excited about his potential. I think they're just looking to keep him healthy here, but I thought that many times. I almost gave up about 3-4 weeks ago. I'm like, you know what? They're just not going to play this guy, but no Obo still, so I don't think anything truly happened. It's more just organizational choice. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break because I have no clue where I'm at in this show as far as time, because I've had Word documents up and internet up, so we're going to take a break. We're going to get a couple words from our sponsors. Guys, don't forget, we've got Locked On Cowboys tomorrow, so tune in for that one. It's going to be a great playoff crossover. I'm excited. More questions on the other side. Locked On Rams Tuesday, Bear Motter, right after this. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third segment, Locked On Rams Tuesday. Thank you guys so much for joining me. 17, now 18 weeks through the season. Loving every minute. I'm still a little sick trying to fight this thing. Hopefully by the end of the week, I'll have a clear voice, but this is what you get. All right, next one came in. I believe this also was via text. This was Clarence. Clarence asks, what do you think the Rams need to do to beat the Cowboys? Just straight to the point, man. Here's what are we going to need to do to win this game? Obviously, we talked about it earlier with run the ball. Got to be able to run the ball. Got to have options for Jared Goff in the passing game, not just a drop back and pass, drop back and pass, and look up. All of a sudden, Jared Goff has got 40 to 45 passing attempts. That is not what we want. We want to be able to establish the ground game, work off Jared Goff with some nice, easy throws, some play action, try some balls down the field. You saw the Seahawks take advantage of that secondary last week, so hopefully we can do the same. But then again, once we get into the red zone, we have got to convert. I mean, we're sitting here with Todd Gurley. We're used to seeing him put it in the end zone. I mean, Gurley was a monster this year, scoring at least one touchdown in 12 of his 14 games. Him and Alvin Kamara became the first players to produce three touchdown games. Yes, that's right. Three touchdown games. Gurley had a league high 10 touchdowns inside the 5-yard line. So it seemed like every time that we got there, we were producing points, but you would be wrong. Again, a great article on ESPN kind of broke this down and basically said the Rams have not been very good in the red zone this season. As dominant as Gurley's been, they've ranked 15th in points per red zone trip. Kind of putting that back into context here, the Falcons were number 14, and they just fired their offense coordinator, Steve Sarkisian. We know him out here in the West Coast, bounced around with USC up to UW, back down, and then over to the NFL. But 15th, Falcons 14th. We're right in that meh region, right? Last year, McVay's offense was 11th in the same category. Yeah, pretty good, but not top of the league, right? When you looked at points, we were up there. When you looked at yards, we were up there. But when it came to red zone efficiency, we just couldn't really get it done. And that is something that we've got to do in the playoffs, especially when the Rams have taken the ball to the red zone in 43.7% of their possessions. That's the highest in the league. So the highest in the league getting there, but then 15th as far as points that we're taking away. Field goals are great, and Greg Zuerlein better be on point on Saturday because we've seen how that can really affect a game, but gotta score touchdowns. Gotta score touchdowns. Can't let the Dallas Cowboys stay into this game because multiple trips we take field goals and then they come down and put up a touchdown and boom, just like that, everything was washed out. So running the ball, scoring points in the red zone, and then just shutting down Zeke. We gotta slow down their running game because once their running game opens up, it allows Dak to really get comfortable, make easy throws, move around in the pocket, and then do a little bit of his own running. But if we can shut down that and really say, hey, Dak, you're going to have to beat us. All you. No Zeke. Maybe a dump down here and there. But if we can take one of their primary players out of the game, just like they're looking to do with us in the run game, we have to shut down Zeke, control that run game, keep him up under 100 yards. I'll call that a successful day for the Rams defense. And then really kind of capping it off is turnovers. Just got to win the turnover battle. We got to find a way to create those turnovers. Our defense, I've said this all year long, they're going to give up points. They're going to give up big plays. We're going to want to pull our hair out sometimes watching them play defense, but then they're going to come up with a red zone stop or a block field goal or a big punt return or an interception or an Aaron Donald strip sack. You know, something big is going to happen and we need a couple of those plays. Hopefully the crowd can get behind them and really encourage that to happen. But those are kind of my three keys to winning this game. And we'll talk about those a little bit more again with Locked On Cowboys tomorrow. We'll break down a little bit more from their side. And then throughout the week with Vinny Bonsignor and Serena Morales as we get ourselves ready for this game. But appreciate the question. It was probably like a 8-word question with about a 40 paragraph answer, but that is why I'm here. I ramble. All right, next up. This is from Andrew Irvin. He says, who do you feel will need to have their biggest game of the year for the Rams on the defense side of the ball this Saturday? Ooh, because obviously you're like thinking, oh, Aaron Donald, man. Aaron Donald's got to have the biggest game, but you expect that. So I'm going to take Aaron Donald out of it. I'm not going to take the easy route. I'd say it's a mix between a couple of players. I think I want to say right out the gate, Talib. I think he's got to do a really good job on Cooper. Cooper really is the only target for them that scares me. If he can nullify what Amari Cooper is doing, I think the rest of our boys can handle the rest of the Dallas Cowboys have to offer. So I would say Aqib Talib has got to have a big game. This is why we brought him here. This is, you know, what we've talked him up. We've hyped him up the last 4 or 5 weeks as he's been back and the team's been playing better. It's playoff time, time for him to really show and really get us excited about what we have, not only this year, but moving forward. With that being said, Ndamukong Suh, gotta show up, man. We're paying you $14 million or whatever it is right now. Hasn't had a wow moment yet of the season. He's made some plays. He's filled in nicely at points, but nothing where you're going to look next season and go, we need Suh back. We need him back. Or, man, we wouldn't have won that game without Suh. And I think he needs to step up right now and really take on that role and kind of make a playoff appearance and really make it a big one because obviously we know Aaron Donald's going to get double teams at time. We need to stop the run. So if it's not attacking the quarterback, which I know he loves to do, then we got to get some more help in the run defense. And that probably goes for Michael Brockers as well. So a couple of those guys up front and then Talib, probably our three biggest guys we need to step up and have big games because off of them, we can really play to have a great game on defense. So thank you, Andrew, for that question. As we move on here, Orange Shea McCoy, a longtime listener to the show, says, my boss, which is a Cowboys fan, told me he's going to fire me if the Rams win. No real question there, but Dan Flugel got his back and said, well, you better start looking for a new job. And then seeing this whole community come together, Gavin Parberry actually said, hey, we got a facility in Garland. It's a bit of a commute, but if you get canned, give that sore loser the horns and I'll make a call. Ramley first. I love it. Look at this. Forget Indeed for jobs. Just hit up the Facebook group if you need a job. We got you back. Ramley first. Thought that was funny. Corey Shamblin asked, is this defense going to step up and be who we thought and be able to stop the run? Stop the run would be great. Slow down and contain the run would be a victory. I think stopping the run is going to be really tough with this D. I don't want to say impossible, but the way that we played all year, the way that Zeke has played, obviously leads the league in yards per game, leads the league in total yards. Stopping him altogether will be tough, but that is one of the keys to the victory. So, yes, we have to do it. And if we do, I don't think they'll ever be who we thought they were going to be, because when this thing kind of came together, it was Los Angeles. It was, you know, 30 turnovers. We really thought that we had the Bears defense of this year as that played out throughout the season. We thought that's what we were getting into. Was not the case. So at this point, yeah, we just need to get some big plays. I would love to see a Marcus Peters turnover. I would love to see a Tlaib, one of these new guys, go and get there. But again, if we just play well, keep the Cowboys under 23-ish, and our offense does what they have done almost all season long, this game shouldn't be an issue. But this is one of those games I think it's going to come down to the wire, because you look at even our last matchup again, 35-30, but they had a chance coming down at the end of the game. That thing was tight all the way through the second half. It's not going to be an easy walk, but yeah, our defense is going to have to step it up. I don't think we ever were who we thought we were, but stopping the run is going to be key on Saturday. So thanks, Corey, for that question. All right, we'll take another one from Bill Overball. Although I love his big play potential, JoJo Natson's been super shaky with the ball the last few weeks. Do you think he's ready for prime time? We can't have another Farrell Cooper type of game in the playoffs. Oh my goodness. I feel you on this one, Bill. I missed the bobble snap he had against the Niners. I heard about it on Twitter. I didn't get to see it. But yeah, I think there's something maybe a little going on in JoJo's head, a little nerves coming up, but he's got to be able to just secure those balls, right? He doesn't have to get a big play. I love that he has big play potential. And if he's got room to make a play, go for it. I was just talking about this the other day as we were watching the Chargers game, and King is the return guy. And I was saying, man, he's fun to watch. And I said, it's so different from watching JoJo. When JoJo gets the ball, I kind of have this like nervous feeling of like, oh, he's so tiny. Oh, he's going to get murdered, or he's going to get hit and he's going to fumble the ball. Obviously, some of his drops have kind of played into that insecurity for me, but watching King, he looked like such an athlete, and if he got hit, he might be able to bounce off one, and there wasn't much nerves kind of watching him return like there is with JoJo. I know we've got a history with this with Farrell Cooper in the playoffs, so in all honesty, I really just hope this is a fair catch game, maybe let it go over your head type of game, and if you get 10, 15 yards, if a kicker booms one and you got some space, make that your go point. But I would like to see our offense really get the chance to kind of go out there with whatever field position they get, even if it's backed up in the goal line. But again, you don't want to tell a guy who's a playmaker to overthink making plays. So go out there and just do your thing, JoJo. If it feels like a return, return it. I know he was pretty confident when he fumbled that one, basically saying, hey, I was trying to make a play. It was a freak accident. Just flew out of my hands. Hopefully he can get that under control. And all else, just wave your hand and take it, man. We'll be happy with that. Last question, because I have no clue how long I'm going here. If I didn't get your question, I'll try to work it in throughout the week and see if I can get it in with our crossover or with Serena Morales or Vinny Bonsignor. So hang on tight. And if you got another question you didn't get it in, or something today kind of sparked your brain, hit us up. LA_RamblingBear on Twitter, Lockdown Rams, all accounts, Facebook, Facebook group, Instagram, Twitter, all that. I'll try to get some more questions. I still got a bunch to get to. So last one of the day, Michael Bell asks, what will CJ Anderson's role be when Gurley returns? Will McVay design some plays to use both of them at the same time? Like I did at the same time? And then he put a thinking emoji face, which is James Kroger's favorite emoji. So shout out to that emoji. Michael, man, I hope he mixes in some CJ Anderson just to throw Dallas off, because as Dallas is looking at film, they're either looking at Todd Gurley as basically the solo running back or CJ Anderson as solo running back. We're running that 11 personnel. I'd like to see us mix it up a little bit, maybe go a two running back set, maybe flank those guys to each side of Jared Goff. One thing we haven't seen CJ do a ton of yet, but he's pretty good at, is One, pass blocking, which we've seen a little bit of that, but coming out of the backfield and catching the ball. So to have both those guys in there, either to pass protect or come out and catch the ball, run screens to both sides, you can kind of get tricky that way. I'd love to see them utilized together. Cowboys have zero film on that. So if we could have worked something in, we got the extra week to kind of get comfortable with it. I'd love to see CJ Anderson still get, you know, 6 to 8 touches in this game. I know we want to heat up Todd Gurley, and I want to go to him as our closer near the end of the game, but I'd love to see CJ Anderson come in the game and them think, okay, well, Todd Gurley's out. They're not going to run the ball, and boom, run the ball. Got to keep them fresh. Got to keep them on their toes. So CJ Anderson, I would still love to see a big role in this. I think this question will be something that we move forward this week and talk about a little bit more, because there are so many questions there about it. But I think the correct answer for success would be, yes, CJ Anderson has the hot hand right now. He seems to be bouncing off of people and running with anger. So get him in the game, get him a handful of snaps, at least confuse the defense with him and Gurley in there and trying to figure out who we got to pick up, move him in motion. Sean McVay's great at running those guys all around. So yeah, I'd love to see more of CJ Anderson. All right, guys, with that, I am going to cut out of here. We're going to drop the mic today. We're going to be back Wednesday edition, crossover. I got the Lockdown Cowboys coming on. Madison Prop hit me up and she said, hey man, I was listening to the main Lockdown NFL podcast and those Cowboys podcast hosts seem pretty cocky about winning. Gotta lay down the law. So tomorrow is the day I talk with those guys. It's probably two egos coming together, trying to clash it out, thinking whose team is best. I will do my best to hold it down with the Cowboys crew. Let them know that the Rams are not messing around. Home field advantage. I don't care who's in the stands or not. We've been waiting 2 weeks for this. I'm excited for this game. Can't wait to bring you three more podcasts before we get there. I appreciate it as always, but you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time, peace. MAC-10 is the lick, West Side is the lick. Can't get enough of this gangster. MAC-10 is the lick, West Side is the lick. Can't get enough of this gangster. I'm on a hunt for the loot. Watch your pockets cause I pat them. Belling through the hood and Chucks and Stacey Adam. Got the spot still popping, got the gate still rocking. Every sense for life, my ex trick been jocking. I can't fake no he's hoes unless it's one of those that I iron on my clothes and shine my Romeo. Be the best friend to me, hit a little Hennessy. Always down the drive while I blast on my enemy.